Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into Behind Enemy Lines, a collaboration between the Pack-A-Day Podcast and the Paul Farrington Show. Paul joined by Robert Ziggy Ziegler up at Harvard University and Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day Podcast reacting to week six from around the NFC North. It's crazy how quick the schedule flies by, guys. We blink our eyes and it's mid-October here, or third of the way through the schedule. We're recording this on Monday afternoon, so sorry to any Bears fans who were hoping for a little bit more coverage. We're recording before the Commanders game on Monday Night Football, so we'll hit Chicago a little bit during the show, but we won't be able to dive into it the way we normally do. Ziggy, we'll actually do a reaction to that tonight, so if you want to see Ziggy and I talk about it right after the game. I'm not sure if you're doing anything, Andy, as far as Bears Commanders, but if you want to see some Bears content, you'll have that on our channel. So
I don't think Bears fans are going to want to watch that, Paul, of how I think this game's going.
Hey, last year, you know, it came right down to the wire, quite literally. So obviously Bears fans don't want to relive that, but it was a great game. So hopefully we get something close. Maybe if not exactly the same, it would be hysterical as Vikings and Packers fans. So Andy, I saw you were at the game yesterday. How was it?
It was good. It was fun. Being at Lambeau is always a pleasure and a joy, almost no matter what. I've certainly been at some games that were probably not defined as such, but for the most part, it's always a good day to be at Lambeau Field. We were kind of talking a little bit off air, of course. You know, did they win by enough? Did they get enough, credit for winning by only 9 points in that game? Did they get enough style points? That's maybe debatable, but as Ziggy pointed out pre-show, it's the Packers' first win in a month. You got to start somewhere. It's the right way to kind of get back on track, hopefully gain some momentum. And while this was only a 9-point victory and it wasn't maybe the dominant performance, certainly that even Minnesota put up against Cincinnati, it still felt like the game was never truly in the balance. Green Bay pretty much controlled it throughout. I know it was a 3-point game late in the third quarter, I think maybe even very early in the fourth, but pretty quickly thereafter, it was a 2-possession game almost throughout the entirety of it, and never really felt like the Bengals had a real opportunity to win that game.
I'm glad to see you sounding a little bit more reasonable, because in the last episode we had, remember, I think we were all kind of saying, if it's not a blowout, it's a failure. And certainly the reaction that we got in our reaction to the game was, you know, comment section. And then I was looking at national media people today and everyone's saying like, man, there's a problem in Green Bay. They look really average. And I saw you on Twitter and I was actually really happy to see you on Twitter or X saying like, people need to calm down here. Like, you know, they won a football game. And I think you actually quoted the same quote that I had during our show of just winning is hard in the National Football League. And I was kind of blown away at just I get that you're upset seeing Flacco march up and down the field in the dink and dunk offense, but there was definitely a degree of, okay, can you guys just be happy with the win? And I was happy to see you defending that claim.
It's in the same week that the Eagles lost to the Giants, you know, like it's like we are constantly reminded of how difficult this stuff is. Obviously Green Bay earlier in the year loses to Joe Flacco in Cleveland. It is very, very difficult week in and week out. I've talked about it at length already on Pack-A-Day as well. But to me, the big thing here for Green Bay, why this has looked good at times, but maybe not great, comes down to pretty much one thing. And that's turnovers. They've generated one true turnover all season so far. The Evan Williams pick against Jared Goff in week one. Xavier McKinney had one. It was kind of a garbage time right before halftime interception in week three against Joe Flacco. Even if you want to count that one, they've generated two interceptions, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries in a total of 5 weeks so far. And you guys know how difficult it is to win in the NFL, period. It's so difficult to win if you do not win the turnover battle. If the other team beats you in turnovers, it's just like it's a cheat code to winning the game. It's just the odds in the house is stacked against you when you don't win that key statistic. And Green Bay has done a very poor job so far of getting takeaways. They haven't had a ton of turnovers, but Jordan Love had one early in this game, which probably, again, even if you put those 3 points on the board, it probably feels even a little bit better. They get to 30 points. They win by 12. Maybe that feels closer to the 14 and a half line line, and maybe that feels a little bit better, but a key turnover and not generating any of your own, it's really difficult to blow a team out when you're down 1-0 in the turnover battle. So to me, that's obviously the next step for Green Bay. They have to do that. But again, I'm not going to beleaguer a double digit, or at least a 2-score, 9-point victory against any team in the NFL. I don't need style points in October. I get at some point you have to show the ability to kind of put teams away and maybe be a little bit more dominant if you want to be a true contender. I would much rather this team start getting turnovers in bunches in December, January, and hopefully February than in October. And I'd much rather have them playing their best football down the line as well. There's not a team in the NFL that right now can be like, yep, we got it. We're Super Bowl contenders. Like, this thing is wrapped up. Buffalo just lost to New England. Philly just lost to New York. It is what it is. It's a parity-driven league right now, and I don't know that I will feel comfortable with any game that the Packers play the remainder of the season, just because that's the way that the NFL is set up right now.
And it's very easy to look at the most recent results and say, that's who this team is. That's what matters. It's the last week or the last 2 weeks. The Green Bay Packers of this personnel have shown they have the ability to put away really good teams. They beat the Lions and they beat the Commanders. And I know, like, stepping back, that was some time ago. There have been some unfortunate results between then. But if you're wondering, like, when we get being a Super Bowl contender in October means absolutely nothing. If you're wondering, as we close the season, as we potentially look forward to the playoffs, is this a team that has the ability to turn it on against good opponents? We already know the answer is yes. Now, again, like, if you told me after week one and week two that the Packers would be tied for 18th in sacks by the time you get around to week six, if you told me that they hadn't generated enough turnovers, I'd be a little concerned. But this team can play football. You've got some important players coming back from injury. Like, this is not a game that makes me sound the alarm bells for Green Bay. Besides, it's like, well, Fleur coming out of a bye, what do you expect? Are you expecting dominance out of that, really?
I want to ask you,
you're spot on.
Just to go back to the turnover point that you made before, and the answer could be as simple as the ball needs to bounce our way, but is there something that you'd like to see the Packers and Halfley do more of to try and generate turnovers, or is it just, hey, we just haven't seen them?
I think there is some dumb, stupid turnover luck that is involved in this, but I think right now, one of the issues for Green Bay, specifically with Dak in Dallas and now Flacco in this game, and I think a lot of it has to do with Pickens and Higgins and Chase and those receivers just being able to win quickly on the outside, or just being able to throw jump balls or back shoulders to them and have them go make a play. But it's right now a lot of, you know, quick three-step, five-step dropping out of your hands, and so that the defensive front can't get there. And you're kind of taking advantage of the one area where we feel comfortable with a Jamar Chase one-on-one with a Keyshawn Nixon or a Nate Hobbs or a Carrington Valentine. Same thing with George Pickens or T. Higgins. And I think if you get into some of those matchups, whether it be with a Justin Jefferson or an A.J. Brown or whoever it might be, those are the ones that I think you have to be a little bit more cognizant of. I think Green Bay's got to do a little bit better job of getting teams in third and long situations as well, so that they're forced to take maybe a little bit of a deeper drop and maybe get those opportunities to, again, maybe jump a pass or rush the passer with a little bit more, not vigor intensity because they're doing that already, but just with an opportunity to actually get there because it's not just a three-step and out, right? So I think right now, that's the biggest issue for Green Bay is, like, you always have to... You can't stop everything. So you have to kind of pick and choose what things you want to stop. And Green Bay has a good pass rush. Their run defense is number one in the league. They don't allow explosive plays. And it's like, well, the one thing that we're going to kind of allow, or at least be maybe a little bit have a weakness to, is maybe the quick short passing game. We don't think you can matriculate your way down the field over and over and over. And Dallas and now this week Cincinnati are kind of saying like, oh, we kind of can, you know, from time to time and actually put points on the board and at least not get turnovers. I think that's where Green Bay maybe might have to just make a little bit of an adjustment to at least say, hey, we've got to do something so that quick passing game isn't quite as available to opposing quarterbacks, so that your defensive line has a little bit more opportunity to cause that chaos on the quarterback.
Yeah, you saw that in the first half, especially. There were third and 13s, right? There were those plays where you could have Micah and the rest of those guys kind of pin their ears back and get after Flacco. Really, the entire game, it felt like if the Bengals, I keep almost saying the Browns, if the Bengals tried anything other than the quick three-step drop, right? Like dump off to Chase or hitting Jamar Chase on and out. Chase Brown, sorry, the dump off. They weren't getting anything done. And I'm wondering, was there a growing sense of frustration in the stadium as Flacco and the company get the ball for the third time, right? And they're just driving right down the field, getting 5, sometimes 9 yards on first down just with these little like tiny plays that were kind of turning into chunk plays. Was there at some point in the stadium where everyone's like, you know, Jeff, like do something, like change it up a little bit?
Yeah, I think there was at least a disappointment with the way that it was trending at that point in time. It's interesting because I think a lot of people will point to that first touchdown drive, which was 17 plays, 8-10 minutes at the clock, and went down and scored a touchdown, right? The interesting thing for me is I'm more willing to tip my cap a little bit in those scenarios where like that's kind of what you're forcing. If you force the other team to go 17 plays, almost 80 yards and chew 10 minutes of the clock, like you're just expecting the opposing team to kind of trip over themselves at some point. And there probably were a couple holding penalties there, maybe on Micah Parsons, where maybe if you get one of those, you get to a second and long, third and long, whatever. Just didn't happen that way. And they still had to, after all of that, after 16 plays that led up to it, they still had to convert a 4th-and-2 on that final play just to get in the end zone. Like Green Bay made them work and really, show that they could do a 17 play, almost 80 yard drive. They did it. I'm more willing to tip my cap on that one and say, you finally did it. After 3 full quarters of football, you put one drive together that took everything in your being to put together and you got 7 points. Congratulations. Kudos to you and your team. All good. We're no worries here. And even after that touchdown, I'm like, yeah, I'm not concerned about it. It was the next 2 drives where they go down pretty quickly, score the field goal. And then the next one after that, where you've got the lead, I think it's 14 at that point. And in 3 minutes, they quickly go down and score 8 points on that drive to cut it to 6. Those are the ones where I'm a little bit more of like, those are the 2 that can't happen. And again, if you get one of them, if you get that field goal drive, again, it's probably not catastrophic, but that one where it's 14 points, you've got this game put away, you know, they're going to throw, they're very predictable at this point in time. You got to find a way to stop that drive. That's another one where they've got a 4th-down conversion and Jamar Chase makes an incredible play along the sidelines. And again, I'm willing to tip my cap a little bit there too, but you can't have all 3 of those combined in the second half to put up 18 points. That's where I think it just got a little bit frustrating. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ziggy, any comment on that, Ziggy?
I mean, it's certainly true. I think too, on that touchdown drive, there was that really unfortunate defensive pass interference penalty. Like you can't be giving those up at that point when you're just trying to get off the field. But I will give credit as we talk about the defense struggling a little bit more in the second half. Every single time the offense got the ball, except the very end of the game when nothing mattered, they scored.
Yep.
And as we talk about the defense needing to make some adjustments, I thought the offense did a really good job. I'm curious if you felt this way in the stadium, Andy. People have talked a lot about LaFleur not making the offensive adjustments that are needed in the second half. But it felt like this game, after the offense was up and down, things looked a lot better in the second half. So I'm wondering, was there anything in particular that you saw, or like, what do you think explained the offense doing a lot better and having those 2 much more successful drives in the second half?
The Bengals defense is horrible.
It was horrible in the first half too, right? Like, I know Trey Hendrickson went out, and obviously that helps a good bit, but it's not like you were playing a different team in the second half.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. And Matt LaFleur actually just talked about this in his press conference as well. He said that they were not expecting as much 2 high safeties from Cincinnati because that went away from their tendencies and they got a lot of 2 high stuff. So he said that kind of caught them by surprise early in the game. And then they made the adjustments to go more of a quick passing attack. And he said, obviously, they were able to hit on a couple of the deep shots down the field as well, which was advantageous. But I do think that he made the adjustments necessary. And it did feel like when Green Bay needed a play specifically in the second half. And yes, Cincinnati's defense being bad and not having Trey Hendrickson obviously plays a part in this as well. But I do feel like they made the necessary adjustments, and it felt like any time that they needed to make a play specifically in the second half, they were able to make it. And kudos to Jordan and Matt, Jordan for executing, but Matt for kind of figuring out those adjustments as well.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right on those decisions can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. It's time to start getting ready for Week 7. Yes, Week 7 already, as Green Bay is set to take on a dangerous Arizona team in the desert this Sunday. And let's just say I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on the top tight ends for both teams in this game. Elsewhere in Week 7, I'm going with a big game from Justin Jefferson and a dominant performance from CJ Stroud. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning that you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on CJ Stroud's passing yards, rushing yards, and touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Don't forget to use that code Packaday. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
You really couldn't count on more than one hand how many times Cincinnati sent more than three or four to the entire game. And I saw a lot of Packers fans were upset that there seemed to be a lack of deep shots, because this offense for a while now, you know, you're used to big plays there. And it was a lot of, you know, a lot of Josh Jacobs, who I thought was just awesome in this game, especially in the second half. And it was a lot of just, you know, checkdowns and finding short stuff. But that's what the Cincinnati defense was giving you the whole game. And I had no problem at all, if I were a Packer fan, watching that offense just methodically kind of move down the field. That's sort of the reason it never actually got... I don't think at any point, if you were a Packer fan, you got too nervous, other than maybe that 3rd and 9 where Golden had the huge catch. And that's two weeks in a row now where Matthew Golden has been the target on the biggest play of the game for the Packers offense. But yeah, I just thought that in general, the Packer game plan was pretty good given what Cincinnati was going to allow them to do. And you can't get too mad when they're moving up and down the field. The Bengals defense couldn't stop them, like, plain and simple. There was no moment where Cincinnati made a play where you just went, like, okay, our offense is in trouble. I think all the Packer concerns lie on the defensive side from the fan base right now. And honestly, that was just kind of Flacco getting hot and Ja'Marr Chase doing Ja'Marr Chase things. And as you mentioned, a couple fourth down conversions. Like, this game easily could have been a blowout, but it also was close. Like, we have to acknowledge it was a close game, especially in the second half. Like, they're one stop away from it really getting dangerous, and they just couldn't do it.
No, they couldn't. And again, I just think this is where it goes back to being able to generate some of those turnovers and just take some of the ease, or just, you know, some of the difficulty off of your defense. And again, having to stay out there on the field, you just get an easy turnover, a quick turnover, and it makes that obviously a whole heck of a lot easier. And putting your offense in plus positions and just giving yourself extra possessions in the game, I mean, that just changes everything. And if you're not going to do that, makes it very hard on the day. And that's where it could have been that, you know, you're up by six, punting the ball away to Cincinnati and having the opportunity for them to go down. And yeah, you would hope that your defense could get a stop there when need be, but Ja'Marr Chase just makes a ridiculous play, or T. Higgins makes a ridiculous catch, and all of a sudden now your offense has to go down, and you're maybe relying upon the offense getting in field goal range for a backup kicker who got signed 24 hours earlier, having to maybe make a kick, or maybe you don't even have time left on the clock, period. So you certainly didn't want to see it in that situation. Thankfully, with that big Matthew Golden play, they didn't have to get into that situation. But I think that's where, again, maybe that some fans are underwhelmed by the overall performance. I think that's wise, because they wanted to see this game put away and not have to have any nervous moments in the fourth quarter. And unfortunately, there were a few of those.
Between LaFleur's clock management and having a new kicker in, it would have just been an absolute disaster. That final, Love would have got the ball downfield, but then who knows what happens once he got into field goal range. But yeah, no, I thought the Packer fan base was overreacting a little bit. It was a definitely some aspects of disappointment in the second half. But overall, I thought I think you're right, Andy. You win the turnover battle in that game, and it's a blowout. It's you still yeah, won by 9 points.
But it is just tough when, like, you've got your divisional rivals. The Vikings beat the Bengals 48-10. The Lions beat them 37-24 with 21 of those points coming in the fourth quarter. Like, I don't... You know, Joe Flacco had probably the best game of the season that he's had against the Packers this game. But even then, Joe Flacco should not be transforming a team that's losing by 48-10 to the lowly Minnesota Vikings.
Well, it was the turnovers, into a close game. Look at the Viking-Bengal game. That was actually kind of close until Isaiah Rodgers decided to turn into Deion Sanders meets, like, Lawrence Taylor meets like that. That's why we blew him out. And same thing with the Lions. They forced just a ton of turnovers. That's why they moved off Browning. And I know Flacco had turned the ball over, but he just doesn't do it against the Packers, I guess, for some reason.
But yeah, again, they're not generating. Like it takes the Packers have to do their part in that responsibility as well. You know, teams are willing to sometimes give you turnovers when you have a Joe Flacco quarterback. You got to take advantage of it, and it just hasn't worked out that way. So yeah, I think Jeff Hafley and this defense have to figure out a way to put their defenders in their secondary and Xavier McKinney, et cetera, into more advantageous positions so that they can go and take care of the ball or take away the ball, I should say. And until that happens, again, these games are going to be dragged out brawls because we know the margin of victory is very, very slim in the NFL. And if you're not getting that turnover battle edge going in your favor, it's going to be a really tough fight.
You think right now, Andy, a little bit of Jordan Love MVP steam could get going over the next couple of weeks? Ziggy was starting to make that claim last night.
I would love that. I think he's playing great. I think there's obviously quarterbacks that are playing better right now. Yeah. I think Baker is just out of his mind right now. Just looking at it, Jordan is tied for fourth with Jared Goff right now, but the three front runners, Josh Allen plus 140, Mahomes plus 270, Baker plus 470, and then Love and Goff are at plus 1500. So pretty significantly far away from the top three. I think if he gets hot in the second half or at any point moving forward, where all of a sudden you see this passing offense really pick up and he's all of a sudden just, you know, throwing three touchdowns and going for 280 every game or something like that, he would get his name in the conversation very fast. Mm-hmm. I think the way that Matt inherently wants to play with this being a run first offense and feeding Josh Jacobs the ball a ton, I think it might be difficult for it to ever quite get to that point. I do really love the way that Jordan is playing football. And I think that Jordan, like, this is sort of the complete microcosm of a Jordan Love game now, where it's like, there's one decision every game where you're just like, not sure about that decision. You don't know what's going to happen, whether it gets tipped up this week and picked by Geno Stone, or whether Alex Anzalone just drops it and it was right in his hands or whatever it might be. You don't know what's going to happen, but there's usually one decision. And then there's one just completely missed throw, the Musgrave one in this game, where Musgrave's wide open over the middle of the field and he airmails that thing by like 10 yards. Like, it's not even close. And then like the rest of the game, it's like, yeah, he was fantastic. And like, that just feels like the Jordan Love game now. And now he's adding obviously a little bit more of a running element to his game as well, which I think is very advantageous. So I love the way that he's playing. There's usually going to be one throw, one decision, and then fantastic football the rest of it. And this was exactly that for Jordan.
Well, that's what's scary when you're talking about a playoff game and you're going against the Lions or you're going against Philly, whoever it may be. And that offense isn't going for like 25 yards in the first half, right? Because if you give Cincinnati, you know, 7 extra points here in that first half, just say they have one good drive, that's the difference between this being a nail biter and this being a 9-point comfortable win. So Jordan having those moments, like, that was very avoidable too on the first drive. All you have to do, throw it out, get your 3 points, move on, or even go for it, whatever you want to do. But like, when you rewatch the highlight of that play too, it's like, you know, I can't remember who he was throwing to, but he was like completely draped there, and there was someone behind him as well. So it's like, why are you making that throw? Just save the down and move on from there. Ziggy, I'm looking here because, Andy, you said it. I was listening to your post game show, and you know, as a fan of the Packaday podcast, I was listening to your post game, and I heard you say something that actually, I was at the gym while listening, and I almost dropped the weight on myself because I was kind of surprised, but also a little bit annoyed. The Packers are actually the favorites to win the NFC right now. And I know that they're 3-1-1, right? They have a great record. But that just kind of shocked me. Like, they don't feel like a team that would be favored to win a conference right now. And Ziggy, I want to go to you, but, you know, before Andy starts, you know, throwing like, you know, the fairy dust around and convincing us why. Like, do you think that that's reasonable to have Green Bay as the favorite?
I mean, there's a reason I put Green Bay near the top of my power rankings last week. This team has the talent to win a conference.
But should they be the favorite is what I'm asking.
So step back and ask, why are they the favorite? The answer, I mean, it tells you something about the Packers, but it also tells you something about the other teams. They beat the Detroit Lions, which gives them an advantage when it comes time for an NFC North race, because you're probably not winning the NFC on the road. The Eagles just lost to the Giants after a tough loss to the Broncos. The Rams, you're worried about Stafford's health. The Buccaneers, they've looked very good, but this team has not had a lot of playoff success recently with a similar core. Like, it's still Baker Mayfield throwing to Mike Evans. Like, the Green Bay Packers are the team, I feel like, compared to the Lions, the Eagles, the Rams, the Bucs, that's changed for the better going into this season. And they've shown that they can beat top teams. If the Green Bay wins the NFC North, and I think after this Lions loss to the Chiefs, it certainly looks like they could. I'd have them favored to win the NFC. It's like, are they the team I'd have favored? Probably not. I still think Detroit's a better football team, but it's very, very close between those two. And I think one of those two teams, whichever one wins the division, wins the NFC.
Yeah, a lot of people are circling the Thanksgiving game right now. Like, a lot of people are talking. I mean, in our comment section, Andy, it's just like, just wait till Thanksgiving. And both sides are saying it, like, wait till Thanksgiving and you'll see what's up. Are you a believer in that ranking, Andy, of the Packers as the favorite?
I understand it. I don't know that any team in the NFC feels great about where they're at right now. Yeah. I just don't. You know, you look at who Detroit has beat so far. They beat Chicago. I think was Baltimore was with Lamar, right?
Baltimore maybe was with Lamar.
That was a real win.
I thought that was a great win. Yeah.
That's a good win. And then Cleveland and Cincinnati. And then they have the two, you know, other games against Green Bay and KC, and they lose both of those. We talked about Philly, you know, dropping a couple and just losing to New York this past week. Yeah, I think the Buccaneers are a really good team. I really do. I'm a big Baker believer, and I think they're going to be very difficult in the playoffs. I still think their defense has some deficiencies, and it's taken some Herculean efforts at end of games. Like, they easily could be, you know, much closer to 500 or even worse if a couple plays don't go their way so far. San Fran's been good, but they are now with Warner and Bosa and all the injuries that they have. I don't think that that's going to be a legit team towards the end of the year. I just don't know who you look at in the NFC right now and be like, yep, we feel great about where we're at. I think this is totally up for grabs. I really, really do. And I think that's why you see, you know, Tampa, the Rams, Eagles, Lions, Packers, all between like plus 800 and plus 380. I still wouldn't even stun me if Washington gets a little bit more involved in that conversation as well. So if you said right now, if you asked me right now, like, let's say they get the bye somehow. Let's say they get the bye. Do I think they can go 3 in a row to win the Super Bowl? I guess in this case, it would be 2 in a row to win the NFC. Maybe 2 in a row to win the NFC, yes. But I think if they have to go 3-4 in a row against good teams, I don't know that Green Bay has shown the consistency to be able to do that right now. I still think that they have a ways to go. I just think that this is a bigger commentary on the rest of the NFC than it is on Green Bay, kind of to Ziggy's point.
Yeah, I do think the Packers have as high a ceiling as anyone. And maybe that, you know, that's a reflection, I think, of Green Bay, Detroit, and Philly at the top there. When those teams are on, I do think that they have a different level they can get to than the rest of the conference. And you could believe in Stafford, you could believe in Baker, and, you know, they have their moments. But those other three teams still feel a little bit separated to me. I thought Detroit, going into last night, I was a big, big Detroit believer. And I still am. But you just see what's going on in that secondary. And a lot of the Packer fans were upset with us for, quote unquote, making excuses for Detroit. But Ziggy and I are on the show going, like, guys, I mean, if you're missing half your or most of your secondary and Kirby Joseph's like limping in and out of the game, like, at some point we do have to say, like, yeah, one, Detroit's not playing at full strength close to it. But also, two, like, that's a real problem as well for their Super Bowl odds going forward. So I do think Terry and Arnold's supposed to, is he coming back? Do you guys know?
I think at some point, but I think it's going to be a while, but correct me if I'm wrong.
The second opinion said Terry and Arnold doesn't need surgery, though. Terry and Arnold was having an up and down season before he got hurt, but I'd expect him back 4 or 5 weeks from now, probably.
Yeah. And I know Reed's on IR too. I think I still lean Detroit when they're a full go. But if you're a Lions fan, again, you just have to be sitting back here going, this cannot happen again. Like this really can't be happening again. And, you know, last night I was playing against Patrick Mahomes in a number of fantasy leagues. And I eventually looked down. I'm like, oh my gosh, Mahomes is 250, 3 touchdowns, and he's ran for one as well. Like, that defense, as good as the offense is, if the defense is going to let people march up and down the field again, you're going to get caught in a playoff game. So I do get the Packers being number one. But I think a healthy Lions team would probably be my choice. We'll just see if they can actually get healthy.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to make that Thanksgiving game such a fun matchup as well. I think that's the noon game, right? That's the first one, which feels kind of crazy. But that's going to be a big time game. You know, both those teams are going to be completely amped up. I mean, the weird part about it is I almost feel more comfortable with Green Bay against good teams right now than I do against mediocre teams. It feels like they're more up for the challenge and they get a little bit more amped up for it. And everything else just feels like they maybe play down to their competition a little bit. But yeah, the games with Philly, Detroit, even Baltimore later in the season, where I'm sure they're going to be completely desperate for every win to try to make that playoff push. There are going to be some very fun games for Green Bay, and those are going to be ones they really keep an extra eye on to see if this Green Bay team can show that they are worthy of competing with the best of the best, continue like they did in the first 2 weeks.
Lions also have a really tough schedule, too. Like, when you look at that, they got the Rams in there, which I don't think the Packers do, if I'm correct.
The Packers do not play the Rams, correct.
And they don't have the Bucs either, so there's a couple games in there that if you're a Green Bay, it probably feels different for you watching Lions Chiefs on Sunday night. Cause Ziggy and I are both in this weird state of like, yeah, are we really going to do anything? I don't know. Like, we're watching the game and we have an interest in the Chiefs winning, but it doesn't feel the same as last year where, you know, when Caleb and company had that Thanksgiving disaster with the clock, I'm walking to the Thanksgiving table like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, how do you mess that up? This time I'm watching that Chiefs game and, you know, Kansas and Detroit scores to make it a 3-point game in the fourth. I'm like, whatever. Like, here come the Lions. I'm sure Packer fans are like, come on, kid, come on, Mahomes, like, figure it out. It's just the different reactions when your team's in and out of it, which unfortunately for us, I guess we're 3-2, Ziggy. I should probably be more optimistic.
We're out of it.
Where are the, let's see where the Vikings are at in this.
That's what I was looking at too.
Oh, I'm not sure I want to hear this. Can I hold on to like my hope that maybe we're higher than I think?
I think, well, where do you think we are?
In the NFC, I'd probably put a 7th or 8th to win the NFC.
It's worse.
Yeah, I think that's very optimistic, Ziggy.
Saying we're the 7th or 8th best team in the NFC is optimistic.
I think that's optimistic given who's ahead. Do you agree with me, Andy? I feel like that's
I think if you see the 8 teams, I mean, the jump between the 8th and the 9th is where you're looking at right now. There's a pretty big jump there. So the top 8 in order: Green Bay, Detroit, Philly, the Rams, Buccaneers, Commanders, 49ers, and Seahawks. Those are the top 8. I feel like those are all legitimately better than the Vikings.
So we must be right behind that then.
Then you're right. You're the next team. Okay. But the odds go from 8th, where Seattle's at plus 1300, to 9th with Minnesota at plus 2500. Like, there is a big gap between the 8th and the 9th team. And then you guys are still a solid step ahead of Atlanta at plus 33 and then Dallas at plus 35. So I think that feels probably right. But I mean, so much of this is going to depend on what kind of quarterback play you guys get coming out of the bye week.
Yeah.
And just obviously for the remainder of the season.
San Francisco plus 1100, number 7. That'll start to fall off too. I think they're going to come closer to the Vikings, Falcons, Cowboys part of the pack than where they are right now. But yeah, I'm pretty excited actually. Like, this is where the Vikings get me every time and I just can't help myself. Like, we have the Eagles coming to town next Sunday. It's 1 o'clock game. JJ's going to play. I haven't seen anything indicating otherwise, but I'd be floored if he's not playing. And like, I can't wait. I can't wait to see if he magically got better while he was out. But like, internally, I know that, you know, the Eagles are going to, if there was ever a place for the Eagles to get right, it would probably be coming into Minnesota against JJ McCarthy off his second really big injury. I guess not really big compared to the knee, but I'm building myself up for disappointment again, and there's nothing I can do about it.
It's a really tough schedule for you guys.
Oh, it's
brutal.
I
mean, it looks brutal. I mean, like, on paper, it looks because, you know, Philly's going to want to have a get right game. And they have, I know you got your bye gets kind of counterfeit by Philly having the Thursday night football game. Right. So like, you don't even get the full benefit of having a full bye week there because Philly gets the extra rest as well. Then you have to go to LA all the way West Coast and then play at Detroit. You know, Baltimore, Lamar will be back and being super desperate in that game.
At least we're home Chicago, in that. At least we're home in that.
Yeah, Chicago at home is like, that's the first one. You go to Green Bay, to Seattle, Washington, and then even at Dallas, their offense is obviously potent, but that's maybe winnable. At New York, they even look different now that they beat Philly. And then you got Detroit and Green Bay again, both of those at home at the end. But yeah, that's as tough as it gets.
O'Connell,
I don't envy the schedule.
O'Connell could win Coach of the Year again if we make the playoffs. If we're like the 6th or 7th seed, he has a shot.
We'll be right back.
I will put it down in Sharpie right now. And I'm not saying he will. If the Vikings make the playoffs with that remaining schedule, he should unequivocally be coach of the year. Like just yes. No question. I will petition on behalf of your Minnesota Vikings that if you guys make the playoffs, Kevin O'Connell should be the runaway coach of the year at that point.
That either means also that JJ's really turned it on, or it will mean, man, we really, really screwed up not keeping Darnold Jones or getting Aaron Rodgers because this roster is just that good. But I'm excited, though. Are you excited, Ziggy? Or you seem to be.
It's so hard for me to get excited about J.J. McCarthy coming back for the Minnesota Vikings, right? Between the risk that he's going to get injured, the way the team has been up and down. I mean, I will say I'm dreading the Philadelphia game in some sense a lot less now that we've discovered that apparently the Eagles suck. But also I'm dreading it much more because now if we lose this game, I can't say, well, they're the Eagles. They were 6-0 coming in. They're unbeatable. It's like this suddenly feels like a game that we could win. And now we're in the spot where it's like everyone wants to play the Vikings almost like the Seahawks last year. It's like if we beat this team, we can prove to ourselves that we're legit. And you don't want to be the 2024 Seahawks because that means that every team that beats you is good and every team you lose to sucks.
Yeah, that's my
how I feel like this
test.
Vikings team right now.
That was my litmus test, Andy. And I think it still might be for this year. If you beat the Seahawks, you're a contender. If you don't beat the Seahawks, you're probably not. And I actually think it stands even for this year with Darnold. But Ziggy, one thing that is fun, and as much as I hate the Eagles, if we beat Philly next Sunday, they are just going to go like that'll explode Philadelphia and they're going to really start freaking out, which like that opportunity in and of itself is kind of fun, even if I don't expect it to wind up happening.
Oh, I mean, it would certainly be neat to be the team that like gets AJ Brown traded.
Yeah,
but somehow I don't think that's going to happen.
Andy, go ahead.
What if it gets AJ Brown traded, but he gets traded to the Packers? How would you feel about that?
Not good.
That would interfere with Matthew Golden's development and ruin whatever vibes the Packers have. So sure, if you want to give up even more draft capital for AJ Brown, like an aging malcontent wide receiver, I'd be thrilled. I'd love to see him go to Green Bay.
It's not going to happen, so you don't have to worry about that. I love this game, by the way. Philly -2.5 at Minnesota. I think it's a really interesting game. I'll just say this. 2 years ago, Philly imploded hard, like in a real ridiculous way. Like they started hot and then they just could not win a game, period, for the rest of their season, even against really bad teams. Like they were completely dysfunctional. And then last year, they were 2-2 and then they kind of got hot and they never really had any adversity after that point. And things just kind of clicked the remainder of the way. And obviously they won the Super Bowl and things went really well. I am very, very intrigued if we're seeing another implosion here for Philly or if this is the turnaround and Philly gets right against Minnesota and starts going in a positive direction and nobody again cares that they started their season, you know, with a couple losses and they start reeling off, you know, a bunch of wins like they did last year. I think this is a really interesting inflection point for Philly right now.
Oh, I also think that we may have talked about this, definitely at least Ziggy and I on our show, but Sirianni, he almost seems to embody kind of what people think of Philadelphia, right? Like when things start to go wrong, you can just see it wearing on him. And then he kind of like builds and explodes. And he's like screaming on the sideline. And that's not, you know, that's not, maybe LaFleur gets a little heated, but O'Connell, right? We think of a lot of the top coaches in the league and how they're able to stay composed. Like, can you imagine, you know, Andy Reid is going to keep things under control in Kansas City and Dan Campbell's going to keep things under control in Detroit. You're not really questioning the culture. Most of these top teams, you do feel really confident in what they've built around the organization, like the leadership. And in Philadelphia, outside of Saquon, which maybe that's what kind of, you know, separated it last year. And he also him running for, you know, 2,500 yards helped. But when you're not getting that production and you have AJ Brown freaking out, I don't know if that locker room, especially with a lot of the veterans who were the leaders retiring along the lines, I don't know if they'll be able to actually pull it together despite how much talent's on that team. And they're loaded with talent. I think we all agree on that. But do you guys have any faith in the leadership there? Because I don't after Saquon Barkley.
No, I think that's what makes it really interesting. That's why I said I think this is such an inflection point for where they're at right now. And yeah, if they lose, and like we just saw Za'Darius Smith retire from Philly, which was an interesting move. Obviously, former Viking, former Packer, former Lion, we talked about it as well.
Yeah, NFC North legend.
What's that?
An NFC North legend.
NFC North legend. It's just disappointing. He's not going to be able to complete the complete the NFC North by going to Chicago for a little bit, right? But yeah, like them losing it, like, you know, they're going to be aggressive if they start winning football games and start trading for a defensive end or something like that. That's just what they do. But to your point, if all of a sudden things get worse, or, you know, does AJ Brown ask out? Like, I could see this spiraling really quick for Philly. It's an interesting case study for Packers fans. I think I would probably rather Minnesota win this game, I think.
Oh, definitely.
I think that's probably fair. I think that has to be true. But yeah, I think I'd rather have Minnesota win this game. I mean, I don't want Minnesota to start like getting confidence in the NFC North either, but I think that's probably the better outcome.
You know, I'm looking right now, because we did say we'd get a little Bears talk in here. Chicago's sitting at 2-2. And then obviously by the time people are listening to this, the game will be over against Washington. But they really do have a great opportunity here. If they beat Washington tonight to get to 3-2, you're above 500. With the Saints, obviously at Baltimore, will be tough if Lamar's back. But then the Bengals and the Giants and the Vikings, like, Chicago could sneak in there as being one of those teams that we're looking at in mid-November. Like, okay, if they get hot right now, they could find a way to do this, which is just amazing after the start they had. But this game against Washington, and again, people will know if they won or lost, but I'm just saying, if they beat Washington, keep an eye on Chicago. I don't think they're going to win the division. I don't think they're going to, you know, threaten the conference too much. But as far as like just getting into the playoffs and having a sneaky good season, I think they're right there with tonight's game.
This is just the microcosm of everything we're talking about, right? Like, it's just the NFL is really difficult right now. There's a lot of parity. It's like, there's a few teams that are really bad. We know those teams. We know exactly who they are. You get them on the schedule, you better freaking take advantage of it. And to be fair, Green Bay didn't in one of those games against Cleveland. And that's a huge disappointment based on what happened in that game. But outside of that, I mean, there just are very, very few gimme wins on the schedule for just about anybody. And we're seeing almost more of a propensity for upsets right now than we are seeing just teams completely blow teams away, which makes it really fun and exciting. But at the same time, yeah, can make it frustrating when you only get, you know, 9-point wins against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, only nine. I wanted to ask you, Andy, this has nothing to do with the NFL, but your hat, I don't think it is. That's not Notre Dame related at all, right?
No, I get that a lot. It is not just a Live Lucky, you know, hat. So no Notre Dame affiliation.
Man, you come on a show where you're like, we're on a show here with two other ND guys, and you're wearing a gold hat with a shamrock on it.
Shamrock on it. I know. Like, I'm aware of the correlation. It definitely comes up quite a bit, but no, just very comfy. So
is this like the not sculling when you went like this and tried to say, like, is this a secret affiliation that you're trying to cover up? Or
no, I'll be honest. I am a Wisconsin Badger fan, although I don't like to talk about that all that much right now. But I'll be totally honest. My only real need for college football is for scouting players for the NFL draft. Like, I'm kind of overall done with college football for the most part. I don't know. It's just not a great brand. I'm not exactly thrilled with where it's at. I used to enjoy it a lot more. I usually don't get to, I don't know that I sit down and watch an entire college football game all throughout the season. Obviously, a lot of that's just because what I do covering the Packers and being fully all in on the NFL and everything. But I'll be honest, I don't miss it a ton. I've never been somebody that's hated Notre Dame. I've always had a lot of respect for Notre Dame. So it's not a shade or anything like that. College football is not my thing right now, if I'm being totally honest.
I get it. Like, when you're doing NFL stuff, Saturday does turn into the one day during the week where you could kind of take a break.
Yeah.
With that said, you should start rooting for Notre Dame. Like, I think you'd have fun. I have a great time. I used to be someone
Paul, this, you're trying to suck him into the Vikings idiot doom spiral.
Oh, well,
right? Where it's like you like the team and they like win some games and you get excited and then they let you down in a heartbreaking way. Like, he's a Packers fan. He couldn't take what we take.
Yeah, Notre Dame is, I think right now, obviously the Vikings don't have the history of Notre Dame, but we definitely are similar teams now in that you kind of get to that big moment and then something goes wrong. I think ND's a little better than the Vikings, though, even though we didn't win the national championship last year. All right, do you guys want to do some of the predictions for week 7 and then we'll call it a show here?
Let's do it.
So we may as well start with the prediction for the Viking-Eagle game. Since we talked about that a little bit, that's at 1 o'clock in Minnesota. JJ should be back for that one. JJ McCarthy. You said 2.5 was the spread you saw, Andy?
Yeah, 2.5 Eagles favorites in that one.
Man, that just, I will never bet against my team. But man, that just feels like one where I don't know. Can I pick the Eagles? Like, is that wrong? I'd be shocked if we won.
Pick the Eagles if you want to pick the Eagles.
No, but is that bad as a fan? Should I not do that?
No. I'll tell you why I'm not picking the Eagles and I'm picking the Minnesota Vikings. Za'Darius Smith's agent has been talking to all the NFL reporters saying that his decision to leave was personal. It had nothing to do with the Eagles. It had nothing to do with anything like that. That is a sign that something is going horribly. They can't even agree on whether or not they had a meeting to talk about whether the offense is getting better, right? This is apparently a topic of debate. And it turns out like people are accusing each other of lying. Like, it's a disaster. Minnesota, we might suck, but at least we suck as a team. And I'm taking a team that sucks as a team over a team that plays well as individuals. Give me the Vikings to win this one at home.
Wow. That's inspiring.
I'm really torn on this one. All right, can I give you somewhat of a hot take?
Sure.
All right, I think if Carson Wentz starts this game, the Vikings win. If JJ McCarthy starts this game, the Eagles win. I think McCarthy's going to start, so I'm going to go Eagles. But I think it's close. I'm going to say Eagles by 3 if McCarthy starts. I'm going to say Vikings by 3 if Wentz starts.
Man, maybe I'm just really pessimistic because I'm looking at this game going like I feel like I can already see the 15 play, 10 minute drive for Philly where we just can't get a stop and JJ's throwing the ball into the ground. Like, I'm going to take Philadelphia as the analyst in me so that people can't just say, oh, that homer always picks the Vikings. I'd love nothing more than for us to win this game. But yeah, my gut tells me Philly will win this. And this will be the spot where the Vikings suck you back in and find a way to win this. All right. The next game, New Orleans goes to Chicago. That's also at 1 o'clock. The Saints have been like oddly competitive lately. I think that they've sort of resurfaced from about as low as you could get for an NFL team. But do you guys think that's enough in Chicago?
Chicago -4.5, by the way. Ziggy, yeah. You can go first on this one.
It's the Bears are not that bad. The Saints actually are. I think it's about that simple. Like, this Chicago team, I believe in some of the talent they have in there. I think Montez Sweat is eventually going to figure it out. I don't mind taking them to win this game.
I'll take the Bears as well. Spencer Rattler's actually been really good, like shockingly good. I think he's due for maybe a game with a couple interceptions. He's only thrown one on the year. I think Chicago takes the ball away in this one. Chicago wins, I'll say by 7 in this one.
In Chicago, I feel good about the Bears. If it was in New Orleans, then, you know, that's sometimes can be a difficult place to play. I might feel differently, but I feel good about Chicago there. I'll go Bears as well. Then we have the Packers now go to Arizona, where I imagine Kyler Murray will be playing in that game just because he was close to playing this week. Marvin Harrison Jr. Yep. went down during the game yesterday or 2 days ago. So we'll see if he's able to go with a concussion. But the Packers are 6.5-point favorites in this one. Ziggy, where are you leaning?
I'm not afraid of either quarterback the Cardinals could bring out. I think Kyler Murray certainly presents more of a challenge. I still think this Packers team is good at football. I do not think the Cardinals are good at football. We've been watching them on our show as a team that, like, it feels like they're one loss away from collapsing a few times. If they'd beat the Colts, I don't think that collapse comes, but losing to the Titans and then to the Colts, their season's over. The Packers are going to win this one handily.
I've heard that.
Right now, the beta for 2025 Call of Duty Black Ops 7 is currently running for a limited time.
Oh, no.
Kyler Murray, he's going to be in it. He's got to have his hands on it, right? So he can't be 100% focused. I like Green Bay in this one. But I say the Call of Duty thing facetiously, obviously. But I'm going to say the Packers win. I'm going to say it's right around. I'm going to say they win by a touchdown in this game.
It seems like we've had the same exact Packer preview as far as like what the fans are saying for now the fourth straight game, where it's okay, like we're going to kick some ass this week, and then it's kind of a close game, win, lose, tie, and it's like, all right, next week's the game where we're going to win by 30 points. I feel pretty confident Green Bay will win this one. I think Arizona's the team to watch to fall off a cliff. Tennessee is so bad. Like, Tennessee is just a horrendous, they're the worst team in the league in my eyes right now. And that the way everything fell apart for them against the Titans, I just think it's going to get worse and worse for Arizona. And I don't mind Jonathan Gannon, but I just, that feels like it's on the verge of collapsing. I'm going to go Green Bay. I think they win by double digits in this one. And I think that they get a little bit of steam heading into the Rodgers game.
Yeah, I'm going to actually take this back. I think, so here's where Arizona's been at. And first of all, they've got the bye week in week 8. So there's got to be a piece of them that's just like, oh my God, we just need this bye week. Like, Let's just get this over with. And I think they had, like you said, one of the most heartbreaking, dumb losses to Tennessee that had to derail them. I give them a lot of credit for after that week, going and fighting Indianapolis and giving everything they can to try to win that game. They still come up short. They lost to San Francisco by a point, Seattle by 3, Tennessee by 1, Indianapolis by 4. I think the players see the bye week ahead and know that they just put everything they had into the last 4 weeks and got devastating losses. I think this is the collapse game. And then there's questions as to whether or not Gannon actually survives the bye week. I think he will, but I think that it becomes more of an interesting discussion. I'm going to say actually the Packers win bigger in this one than maybe I initially expected.
Yeah, that Titans game, I think could very well have a similar effect to the Bears Hail Mary and the effect it
totally
had
agree.
On them last year.
Totally agree.
The last game here in the NFC North, just another great Lions night game, just another great Lions game. You know, they've had Green Bay, they've had Baltimore and Kansas City now, but now they finally get one at home and they have the Bucs in Detroit on Monday Night Football, where the Lions are 5.5-point favorites. Ziggy, are you picking? And this is maybe a little bit of revenge for last year when Tampa went into Detroit and won, avenging their playoff loss from the year before. Do you think Detroit gets them back here?
We'll be right back.
The Chiefs are one of the best teams in the NFL. And Vita Vea can only play so many snaps against the Detroit Lions. I don't think their running game gets shut down twice in a row, certainly not at home. This Bucs team is good, and I think they will give the Lions a challenge. I think it's going to be a shootout. If you have any Bucs or any Lions player in your fantasy games, just put them in. They'll probably put up 30-plus. But I think the Lions are going to come out ahead in this one. I think they're just the better team.
I'll start by saying I think Detroit is a fantastic primetime game team, meaning like for the NFL in general, to be able to watch them in primetime, like the games are always good or they're doing stuff entertaining. Like it's a good team to watch, whether it's against the Chiefs or the Bucks. So you can't get enough primetime Lions, in my opinion. I was surprised when this opened at 5.5. For ESPN right now, it shows at 4.5. So it did come back to earth just a little bit here. I still think Detroit wins this one. If Baker's got more magic up his sleeve and comes up with a crazy last minute drive again, we probably have to really start talking about him as maybe the MVP favorite in this one. But I do think Detroit bounces back, gets to 5-2 and gives Buccaneers their second loss on the season as well. Catapulting Green Bay to the number one spot in the NFC, by the way, which is exactly what we're looking for here.
I think if Tampa comes in and wins this game, We have to completely reevaluate both them as a contender and Baker as the MVP, as you said, Andy, because this would be they're really good, especially with the injuries in their receiver room. I don't know if Abuka is going to play. You always want to be careful with hamstring injuries. So we'll see if he goes. I'm seeing right here, it doesn't seem serious, which is great, especially for my for my fantasy team. But we know Godwin's already banged up and Evans is as well. Which kind of actually makes it interesting given how depleted Detroit's secondary is. We're just going to have all backups going out against each other. I'm going to pick the Lions as well to win this one. If it was in Tampa, maybe you could convince me of the Bucs, but I do just think the Lions are a better team. But I'm excited. I think there's no, as you said, there's no better team than Detroit to have in prime time. Dan Campbell's just a lunatic. But on the other side, Baker's kind of just as much a lunatic and entertaining.
Very much so.
This is to me is another one of those just absolutely great night games that Detroit's going to be a part of. But I'll go Lions and we'll see. I'm really excited for this one.
Agreed.
So I guess that'll close it. It's probably a good time to ask everyone to like, comment, and to subscribe to the Packaday podcast and to the Paul Farrington Show as we continue on during the NFL season. Do you guys have any closing thoughts? I know, Andy, usually you have an offer for us with our quarterbacks.
Oh, I don't know if I have an offer today. I guess just I have a question. Like, what is your, are you still feeling like 90 plus percent better that JJ is the one starting this game?
Oh, sorry. Me, yeah. I'm at like basically 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
I'm keeping an eye. Like, Paul, did you hear what Kevin O'Connell said about JJ McCarthy playing in this game?
No.
You know, they asked, this is the first time he's expressed some hesitancy. Like, he was asked whether JJ McCarthy would be back and whether Carson Wentz with the shoulder injury would be playing. Kevin O'Connell said, "We've got to try to prepare to win this game on Sunday."
Well, that, yeah, that's not
like, I understand. There's two ways of reading that. One is like, whatever, I don't care about this. The other is, that's the first time he hasn't said JJ's 1000% our guy. He'll start this game. I think he'll win us this game. I mean, I should say, I think we'll win the game with him as quarterback. But at a certain point, Kevin O'Connell's right. You've got to think with this roster about winning games right now.
I just don't think that Carson Wentz is the guy that's going to be able to push this team over the top. And as unlikely as it appears, JJ finding his rhythm and reaching his potential, which we'll see what that is. That's probably that to me is the best opportunity this team has of being competitive, like truly competitive, in 2025. So you have to know what JJ is. And if we keep playing this game of, all right, let's go with the backup, like, this isn't Sam Darnold in Carson Wentz. This is a backup. That's just my take on it. But Andy,
I do have one for you. All right. I want to do this right now. The San Francisco 49ers have fallen in love with Mac Jones and want to make him the quarterback moving forward. And they say, we'll offer you Brock Purdy for JJ McCarthy. And let's say a second round pick straight up. Are you taking the deal for Brock Purdy at this point?
Wow.
Do you have to think about this, Paul?
I'm not a huge Brock believer, but yeah, I would say yes. I think O'Connell would be really, I think Purdy is perfect for what the Vikings would want to do.
There's the Atlanta Hawks. They had a new GM this year right before the draft, and the Pelicans offered them a trade deal and he accepted. Then he called back to make sure he had heard the deal right, because he could not believe the deal they got.
It was a really bad deal for it was a great deal for the Hawks. It was a horrible deal for, what was it, the Pelicans?
Oh yeah, it was a disaster for the
awful,
Pelicans.
Yeah.
This is what the 49ers would be doing. I would have to call back and make sure I heard right. You want just a second round pick to swap JJ McCarthy for Brock Purdy? Super Bowl, here we come.
I definitely have my drawbacks on Brock, but if there's one thing he can do, it's game manage with an elite head coach. And I think that would be, we'd immediately, where do you think we go up the Super Bowl odds if we got Brock Purdy?
If he's healthy.
Yeah, let's assume he's healthy.
It would take a pretty big jump. I would think so.
Maybe we go six after Tampa. Packers, yeah, that sounds Lions, about right. Eagles, Rams, Bucks, Vikings.
Yeah. I think that sounds about right.
Well, Andy, Can you do that?
One more time. What would be the most that you would give up for Brock Purdy in that situation?
Three future first round picks.
Are you serious? What? You give up?
Wow.
If we get Brock Purdy this year, we will win the Super Bowl. What's that?
I was going to say, like, if we give up a first round pick and maybe like a future second, that's still a lot. If you give up a first and a future second, yeah, but I think he'd be really good with O'Connell, so that's probably where I'd go. Three first round picks is kind of nuts.
I'm willing to do it 100%.
The $58.9 million in dead cap hit that the 49ers would have to take probably makes it pretty much a non-starter. So I don't think you guys have to lose too much sleep over it, but it would be a fun fun case study nonetheless.
Oh, I think that's a great question, just as far as like a fun hypothetical goes. I think I said this maybe 4 years ago now, that I would have traded seven first-round picks for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe this is what, after like I think his first Super Bowl that he won, I was like, I will trade 7 years of first round picks. And I still feel pretty good about that. Not saying Brock Purdy's Patrick Mahomes, but I would love to have a quarterback that I have some confidence in right now, given the roster that we have. All right.
Totally so fair.
I guess we could wrap it up there. Oh, Andy, I did want to say, the vibe around New Jersey, this is, you know, you didn't ask about this, no one did. I just want to tell you, the vibe in New Jersey, New York right now with Scataboo and Jackson Dart is wild. Like, it's pretty fun around here.
This is the remarkable thing of, like, the Packers are 3-1-1. They are the fifth best team in the NFL in the standings, like literally just based on winning percentage. They have the third best odds to win the NFL or win the Super Bowl, the best odds to win the NFC. And it's like the sky is falling in Green Bay and nothing is possibly good enough. And there's so much concern and angst and anxiety. And Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo get a win against Philadelphia. And it's like they are on top of the world and everything is trending in the right direction. And Super Bowl, here we come. And it's just like football is an amazing, amazing thing. And expectations just prey so much on what you need to do week in and week out to feed a fan base that has Super Bowl expectations. Or in the Giants case, just like a win is like, oh my God, like we did it. We beat the Eagles. Yeah. It's remarkable how this stuff works.
You guys are literally tied for second to win the Super Bowl right now in odds, which I think if you asked any Packer fan the day you traded for Micah Parsons, like, hey, you got, like, do you want to sign this right here? You'll be tied with the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Every single Packer fan would say, absolutely. It is crazy how the momentum builds and then it can just completely fall apart for really no great reason. But all right, we'll wrap it up there. Ziggy, we'll give our little skull because we're about to beat the Philadelphia Eagles and send their season into a tailspin again. Andy, you could close it however you want for your Packer fans.
I'll say go Pack go. Maybe we should just do a Bears still suck every single week. That would be a way to combine our fan bases together in some way. But no, I appreciate you guys. This is always fun. We'll talk next week and should be a really fun breakdown. By the way, we just saw as we were recording this, Brian Branch suspended without pay for a game. So that will certainly...
I told you that was going to happen, Paul. You're like, Ziggy, do you know that? Are you clickbaiting? It's like, no, there's no way he wasn't getting suspended.
So that will be an interesting way to, or another thing to keep an eye on in that Bucks-Lions game as well. So should be a really fun week of games. Really looking forward to discuss it with you guys next week. You guys have a great week.
You too, Andy.